It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Talks to try to end the budget stalemate between Governor Wolf and members of the Republican-controlled Pennsylvania legislature are scheduled to resume this afternoon. The Commonwealth is now well into its second month without a budget, which is causing a fair amount of anxiety among counties, school districts, and other groups that rely on state funding. I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Governor Tom Wolf. Governor Wolf, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It's good to be here.
How do you plan to approach these talks today? And is there a sense of urgency now that we're well into August and you have people around the state losing patience with this impasse?
Well, I think there's been a sense of urgency right from the start, actually going back to the campaign. And I think the sense of urgency is not just to get a budget done on time. It's to get a budget that actually works done, one that actually secures for us a good Pennsylvania, a good future. And the budget I was given on June 30th actually doesn't do that. I think the budget I proposed on March 3rd, on time, I might add, actually does. I understand this is a democracy. We have to have some negotiations and conversations. I have been in the office every day since January 20th, I think, with one day off. And I am here today and willing to work. So I think the thing that we have here is a choice, basically, between the same old, the stuff that we've been dealt before with gimmicks and games and smoke and mirrors in a budget, or a budget that actually works and that sets up a future for Pennsylvania, one where we actually invest in education, one where we actually have property tax relief, where we have a reasonable severance tax, and where we actually have a budget that balances in reality, not just phony math.
So what is holding up the works here? What are the key sticking points, the main areas of contention? Somebody has to compromise here. Where are you willing to compromise, and where do you think the opportunities are for compromise?
I think there are a lot of areas for compromise. I think what we can't compromise is on certain fundamental features of our future. For example, 2 + 2 still equals 4. And if your budget doesn't balance, that's a problem. If it doesn't add up, you might like to have 2 + 2 = 5, but in fact it doesn't. And so we've got to do the right thing. We've got to invest in education. We could delude ourselves into thinking we don't have to have a good education system in Pennsylvania, but in the 21st century, come on, that's not going to work. You can keep listening to special interests and say I'm not going to do anything that might harm one of my buddies that gives me a lot of money in my campaigns, makes campaign contributions to me, but you can't build a budget around that. So I'm willing to compromise on how we do this, but you can't compromise on certain basic principles. For example, when it comes to the severance tax, I've compromised a lot on that. Someone says, formula actually, if it were, 5% plus 4.7 cents with a base, that base under certain market conditions would lead to excessively high severance tax. I agree. So I took the floor out. Second, I wanted to make sure that the people who got the impact fee monies, the localities, would continue to get that. And so I thought a very generous floor in there saying you cannot go, we're going to be giving at least $225 million, we're going to give $225 million, which establishes a floor. $225 million was, I think, the amount of money that came out of the impact fee 2 years ago. It was the highest point so far, and so I put that in. Somebody correctly pointed out that also is an implicit cap. I said, nope, it's not a cap, it's a floor. So I've made compromises, and I continue to be willing to do that, but I don't think we can compromise away our future. I think that's why I was elected. I'm a new governor. I first time I've run for public office. I'm a native Pennsylvanian, and I'm not about to compromise my future, the future of my state, away.
When it comes to a severance tax on drilling, low gas prices are causing concern. Do you think it's still a good idea to hang your budget proposal and at least some of the state's economic future on continued growth in natural gas production in the state?
Yeah. I mean, we're the only major net gas producing state in the United States without a severance tax. The gas and oil industry a few weeks ago were proclaiming the fact in a press release that they had contributed $15.7 billion in taxes to Texas. I'm asking for $600-700 million for a severance tax that would help fund some of the public goods like education, like schools, and that they actually need. So I'm not sure why we're the only major gas producing state without a severance tax, but I don't think it's going to affect the industry. And by the way, when gas prices are low and the severance tax is a function of the market price, seems to me that would be maybe the right time to actually implement a severance tax.
So there's the 5% figure that's been put out there. Are you willing to come off of that figure to lower that?
I'm willing to have a good conversation about that. As I said, I've already compromised on my original proposal. Actually, had 5%, 4.7 cents per 1,000 cubic feet, with a floor on the assumed market price. I took the floor out. So yeah, I want a reasonable tax. I want the industry to succeed and do very well in Pennsylvania. I want it to create downstream jobs, and I want it to continue to contribute to our economy. I want to contribute to Pennsylvania's economy, and so I want the best for the industry. So I certainly want a responsible severance tax, and I want to make sure that we're all. I'm doing everything I can to make sure that it is a reasonable tax.
We're talking with Governor Wolf here on Essential Pittsburgh, and we've been hitting on some of the issues that are holding up the budget in Pennsylvania, which is 6 weeks overdue. Moving on to some other things, in April, Governor, you contracted with a rail safety expert to produce a report on risks associated with oil trains passing through Pennsylvania. I understand a draft of that report has been sent to your desk. What's in it, and when will it be released to the public?
I think there are 20 recommendations. I am working through the draft with my staff, and we will go public with that as soon as I'm comfortable that I understand everything that the professor has recommended. Again, the goal here is to make sure that we have train safety in Pennsylvania, and that with all the trains, especially those carrying volatile chemicals and liquids and gases through the state, that we're doing everything we can and working cooperatively with the railroads to make sure that this place is as safe as it could possibly be.
President Obama last week unveiled the Clean Power Plan, the first national effort to cut climate warming carbon emissions from power plants, and you have said that you'll work with the legislature, industry, and citizens to come up with a specific plan for Pennsylvania. What will that plan look like?
Well, the plan will, first of all, have to conform to the regulations that have been set down, but I think those regulations actually give the state some flexibility. We've got to make sure that we meet carbon emission, CO2 emission standards set by the ruling. I think the base year they're using is 2005. If the industry keeps doing what it's doing, power generation is the biggest source of CO2 coming out of most states, including Pennsylvania. If we keep going in the way we're going, just responding to market forces, we will have no trouble meeting the carbon emission standards that have been set to be in place by, I think, 2022. And I think the other things that the rules call for, I think we should be on track to meet that. I strongly believe that clean coal has to be a future, a part of the sustainable energy future for the world. And I think the industry is responding to that dynamic. So I'm very comfortable that I can work with the legislature and the industry and the citizens of Pennsylvania to meet these standards.
With the Senate having blocked Marcus Brown's confirmation, you have just named a second nominee for State Police Commissioner, Tyree Blocker. What led you to decide on him for the job?
He's a 30-year veteran of the state police. He rose through the ranks to be a major, went through the academy, and I think has a good reputation, earned a good reputation while he's with the state police. And I expect that he will be confirmed.
Meanwhile, you've nominated Marcus Brown to become your Director of Homeland Security, a post that has been vacant since the Corbett administration. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette stated in an editorial that the appointment hardly seems related to Pennsylvania's level of security threats and that it seems pretty obvious you just wanted to give Mr. Brown a job. What is your response to that?
Well, it's nonsense. I'm not sure anybody knows what the level of security threat is. I certainly am not privy to the musings and thoughts going through whatever conspirators might be out there at this point in time. But we have, we have two great cities. We're a big state. We have 12.7 million people living in Pennsylvania. And I think one of the basic civil rights is safety and security. And I think we should be doing everything we can to make sure that our citizens are safe. So I wanted a really good person in that position. I thought Marcus would have made a great police commissioner. He didn't wasn't confirmed, and I still want him, as I did, helping me make sure Pennsylvanians are as safe as they can be, and I think he'd be a good leader of Homeland Security for Pennsylvania.
Finally, Governor, today Attorney General Kathleen Kane is addressing the media for the first time since being charged with perjury, obstruction of justice, and other crimes related to the alleged disclosure of confidential information to retaliate against political rivals. Have you spoken to her since last week?
I have not. She was charged with obstruction of administration of law.
What would you advise her to do at this point?
Resign.
Fair enough. Governor Wolf joining us by phone from Harrisburg. Governor, when you're in Pittsburgh next time, we would like to invite you to join us in studio. I would love to have
that. Would be great. That would be great. I'd love to do that.
Well, we'll throw that out there, and hopefully we can have a face-to-face conversation next time. In the meantime, thank you for being so generous with your time today, Governor. We appreciate it. Thanks for being
on
Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me on, Paul. I appreciate your giving me the time.
Coming up on Essential Pittsburgh, 5 new health centers sites in Pennsylvania are getting additional Affordable Care Act funding. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.